Welcome back inside the studio for Football Sunday, year number 5 here in the studio. Back with the same crew as last year, myself, Eric Jordan Gothy, alongside me, Matt, and the emergency quarterback himself, Jake. How you boys doing today? We're back for another year, Friday night in the studio recording podcast. It will not be online this time, or excuse me, it will not be on air this time. It will be online on the rockrivercurrent.com. Make sure you go and check that out. We'll be promoting that all show long. But guys, we're one game into the season. How are you guys doing tonight?
I woke up feeling dangerous.
That's an all-time quote from Baker Mayfield. One of the best quotes. I think we just talked about that before we went on air too. Well, since we already brought it up, we have a lot of stuff to get to. We have headlines. We have one game breakdown. We have Bears and Packers preview for week one. We also have some injuries. And of course, the favorite segment, our kicker challenge, as well as talking about some other fantasy positions. Guys that are not the normal top tier, tier one or tier two players at the position, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and tight ends. We're going to break down some guys we want to highlight who might be out there in the free agent wire or could be on your bench. Just some guys that could be a spot starter who could be in store for a big week like we have done all last season. We'll be doing it again this week. And there's no better way to start off than recapping Thursday night's game, Dallas at Tampa Bay, the defending Super Bowl champs. Bucks come out on top 31-29 with a last second field goal. Just overall thoughts on the game.
That was a great way to start off the season. That was an awesome game to watch. The offenses were going back and forth all night. Dak Prescott over 400 yards, Tom Brady 3 touchdowns. Like, that was a battle to the end, even to the last play with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. Prescott, 58 pass attempts, Tom Brady 50. And Tom, again, both quarterbacks threw for over 300 yards, Tom Brady 4 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. Dak Prescott, 3 touchdown passes, 1 interception. But I think the key note here is the Dallas receiving core. That's legit. 31 targets just between their top two guys, Amari Cooper, who was back, by the way, along with CeeDee Lamb, who we're talking about is in store for a big breakout season. 31 combined targets between those two. Dak Prescott was just wheeling and dealing because they could not run the ball. Vita Vey is the man in the middle who stopped them. The best run defense in the entire NFL, I believe, Jake.
Can we talk about that we need to trade Zeke?
Really?
Yeah.
Like from fantasy perspective or just from NFL perspective?
Well, I don't think you can from an NFL perspective since his contract is basically handcuffing you to him for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough contract to unload, but he is one of the best backs in the league. But on a fantasy side, you think that if you're owner of Zeke Elliott this year, that's time to pack up and try to move on?
Tony Pollard outscored him. I'm not saying it's going to happen every year, every, you know, game, but you could probably get a big package for, you know, Zeke if he has a good game and just ship him off to someone, especially in a dynasty league. I think it would be a good time to ship him off.
See, it was really tough to run from what I saw in the game. I mean, again, the Bucs defensive front, this is a team that is the defending champs, and they brought every single player back, especially on defense. They have a great front seven. They have a decent secondary. I mean, this is a team that just stops the run. Vita Vey might be not only the best nose tackle in the league, he might be the most underrated player in the entire National Football League. He's that good.
Absolutely agree with that. He was hands down the best defensive player last night. He tore Dallas apart, everybody on the interior.
Yeah, again, the Bucs, this team is for real. Dallas, what I liked out of the game is that they showed that they can compete with these elite teams. Dallas is not a team that's just going to roll over like they were last year. They're historically bad defense. I know Dak Prescott was injured early on the offensive side, but this is a team that can still compete, could be in contention for a division title once again this year, and they could make a deep playoff run.
There's a lot of bonehead mistakes on the defensive side. Speaking of Dan Quinn calling a man coverage where your number one edge rusher is covering Hall of Fame Rob Gronkowski for a touchdown, that was pretty asinine in my opinion. I would like to specify that Leighton and Jalen Smith have been effectively benched.
That's crazy because that's a lot of money you have invested at the linebacker position. You also spent another first-round pick in Micah Parsons out of Penn State, who, by the way, looked pretty good in his debut. There was one play I know that surfaced on the internet where he just looked completely lost, but that was just really the only negative play from what I saw.
So I'll say this. In the play that everybody obviously saw, he looks lost. He's a robber. That's what he is. He's looking for work. He reads run, see there's no run. He checks right to see if there's anybody in his zone that needs help. doesn't see it, and then he sees the tight end carrying up the middle, so he goes there. I know from a non-football standpoint, it looks bad, but if you understand what he was doing because it was man coverage and understand what he was doing, it was a smart decision, but still, he's going to be a million times better out there than Leighton that can... Leighton didn't even know... There's a couple plays where Micah was telling Leighton where to line up.
Oh, that's not good. He had a rookie tell a veteran.
And Jalen, his athleticism is so shot. Gronk was outrunning him. So you guys got these guys on special teams now, and they're everywhere, but they're not on the starting defense.
You know what's kind of crazy, just because we're talking about Micah Parsons? It was his first career game in the NFL. What that kind of reminds me of, and I'm not saying they're the same caliber player, but Aaron Donald during his rookie year was helping out the veteran players on the defensive line. And that's what kind of reminded me of. It's just he was helping these guys with these new pass rush moves. All you would hear about is just every story is like he's just working with these veterans. They're just showing him some just to rework their stuff as a rookie. And again, now we know the rest of his history. We know who Aaron Donald is, a future Hall of Famer, of course. But like, it just reminds me of a rookie, his first game telling a veteran linebacker, or also a fellow first-round pick, telling him where to go and what plays coming out. I mean, again, it's all about reps. The more reps you get, the better you are going to get. And I think Micah Parsons will be a pretty good NFL player down the road.
So like Mac Jones with Cam.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
From what we heard, I know Cam Newton was officially released by the New England Patriots, excuse me. But Mac Jones, I mean, this is a guy who literally took over the job, and from what we heard, was helping Cam Newton learn the playbook once again.
Mac backwards is Cam.
That's a very good point. I've actually never heard that before. It's a good point. All right, the one last note I have to say about this Bucs team. Again, they're 1-0 on the year, but the way Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown both played in the game, if you get those guys anywhere near to the caliber player they were a few years ago, I mean, you add Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, if everyone stays healthy, of course, an elite offensive line, Tom Brady. Now you have a field of running backs back there. I mean, this already might be the best team on paper again as the defending champs.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, it's probably hard not to beat them, but their defense was a little rough in the first half. Todd Bowles did a really good job at adjusting to the second half, and they came out a lot better, but still... Dak torched those DBs a lot, and they kept losing DBs left and right. They lost
Sean Murphy Bunting
to a horrible elbow dislocation, and then one of their free safeties had to come out because he was hurt.
Mike Edwards.
Was it a compound fracture with his elbow?
Dislocation,
okay. Still not a good injury.
And then they even had, I think it was Jordan Whitehead. He was out before the game even started, so they've already taken some hits to DBs.
Yeah, and Dak was just torching them. I mean, the only pick was because CD dropped the ball.
He knew it, too. You could see CD on the sideline talking to himself like, I dropped that ball.
Yeah, there was a lot of promise for the Cowboys team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But still, there's going to be a lot of things that Dan Quinn needs to clean up. I mean, we got 2-minute drill, and you're going to let Tom Brady sit in the pocket with only 4-3 rushers against with the best offensive line. You can't do that.
You can't let him beat you.
You can't do that against Rodgers. You can't do that against anybody else at that caliber. So it was just a little confusing. Again, it was probably more Dan Quinn being Dan Quinn. But, yeah, the defense has a lot better. Jordan Lewis looked amazing. He was everywhere. He did everything right. He almost got, like, 3 picks.
And Trayvon Diggs, too.
Trayvon Diggs
They both
really
ended
good.
With a pick. They both almost got a second one. And Jordan Lewis got that fumble recovery. So there's some promise on the DB side. But Anthony Adams, on the other hand, ooh. Yeah.
Also, Keanu Neal, former strong safety for the Atlanta Falcons, is now the inside linebacker starting next to Micah Parsons because of, obviously, familiarity with the scheme of Dan Quinn, but just the fluidity and speed that he offers other than the wheelchair brothers back there with Leighton and Jalen.
You know, one thing to notice, though, it is a small headline, but if you watch Hard Knocks, remember, Dallas did have a COVID scare going into week 2 or maybe it was week 3 of the preseason. So Dan Quinn wasn't there towards the end of training camp as it was wrapping up before they're getting ramped up before the season. So there was a little bit of missed time there, but again, nothing against them. It's just something they noticed that they're...
I watched Todd Bowles put Vita Vea on the out 9 to edge rush. And I watched Dan Quinn throw 3 rushers at the best offensive line. There's nothing that different than when COVID. I mean, you got homework. Mm-hmm. You basically just sit there and understand it. But yeah, I mean,
The good thing that this is a brand new defense, it looks like. Again, they brought in new coaching staff. They have some new players, some new faces there, some emerging faces on the Dallas defense. I know there's a lot of Cowboy fans out there.
Randy Gregory looked really good, too.
Yeah, so like they have a few. Their special teams, I think, will be a lot better this year because I believe Dallas has one of the better special teams coaches in the league this year. But
Jaden Mickens said otherwise.
Either he's really good or the Cowboys special teams are dog.
Yeah. He was so close to breaking off a long return almost every time he touched the ball, whether it was on punt or kick.
Watch out
for him being all pro this year.
Yeah, he beat the average on every return. Like it was insane.
Yeah, I think Dallas just has a lot to improve, and I think that's just something
Did you say the special teams after watching Greg Zuerlein whiff a 31-yard field goal?
Yeah. Okay.
Are you kidding me?
I get that, but like, the year is Bones, the coach, again, on Hard Knocks. Like, he's had so many good years with the Rams. He's one of the better special teams coaches in the league. That's why I think that there's improvement. Because, again, last year, Dallas' defense was one of the worst. Their special teams unit was also one of the worst.
Did you watch Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
It was like watching paint dry.
Yeah, it was boring because it feels like Dallas is so anything. Like, a player gets a flu, it's going to be on one of the big headlines because it's Dallas, right? It's America's team. There's going to be so many storylines coming out of it where storylines with any other team is just a simple, okay, this happened, whatever, you know, just look the other way. With Dallas, it's like, again, a player gets the flu, it's going to be on first page on ESPN. That's just Dallas being Dallas. So that's why I feel like all these storylines that were in Hard Knocks, we've kind of already know what was happening. We knew about it already, where it wasn't like breaking news compared to if you went behind the scenes with the Carolina Panthers or went behind the scenes with the Cleveland Browns or whoever.
Mike McCarthy still consistently amazes me how he has a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll tell you what, there should be no excuses this year because, again, you have a new defense. We'll see what happens there. You have a new special teams coordinator. You have all the pieces on the offensive that you could possibly have this year with a healthy Dak Prescott, with two star receivers. You have your offensive line returning.
You're set up now to prime. To win. You're primed to be a top three offense this year.
Absolutely. Now's the time to win.
Yeah, but then there's a little inconsistency with Kellen Moore from last night. I mean, he ran an outside zone with Zeke, and he got like 15 yards. Never again. That was the last time. It was his best run all game. Sure. It was in the third quarter, the beginning of it, and we're still pretty close game. That was it.
Yes.
Then it was just runs up the middle.
I know last year was rough for him, but again, I don't know what you can do in that situation when you have three, four different starting quarterbacks throughout the year. You have a banged up offensive line.
We're talking about this year.
This is his second, really, I think, full year, if everyone stays healthy, being an offensive coordinator in Dallas. So I think we're going to see this year as he progresses throughout the year what type of offensive coordinator, what type of play caller he can be in the future.
I am really interested to see if Dallas gets in any more situations where they need one play to win the game. Mm-hmm. He drew up something interesting that could have scored a game-winning touchdown with 2 seconds left, but Tony Pollard decided to get tackled after 10 yards. They had like
elite
full stack in the backfield. While most teams, you know, they would just try and, you know, throw a 10-yard pass and then have them pitch it back. No, they came out and ran, and then they were going to try and do the pitches.
Hook and ladder.
The hook and ladder.
So, yeah, if they ever get in the situation like that again, I can't wait to see what Moore's going to draw up because I think he has potential there.
I'll tell you what, the two teams that played on Thursday to kick off the year are probably two of the more exciting teams in the NFL this year. So definitely two teams we're going to watch out for going down the road.
Yeah, such exciting teams that, and then our Sunday night throw up fest. So,
yeah,
at least Thursday night was good. Sunday night, probably bet early, right?
Yeah, of course, you're talking about the Bears and the Rams going on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Again, the Bears have not had a good track record when playing the Rams or when playing in primetime in general. So we'll see how that. We're going to talk more about that coming up. First, I want to get through some more headlines around the league. We have to start off with brand new year. 2021 has just officially kicked off. First time ever, we have 18 weeks, 17 regular season games taking place with NFL teams having bye weeks, weeks 6 through 14, which is really strange. Also, when there's weeks that there's four teams that have a bye, there's weeks that have two teams when they're a bye, and there's weeks that have six teams when they're a bye. Really weird, especially for as a fantasy perspective, to have bye weeks in weeks 13 and 14. But again, weird year, but the NFL is officially back. Also, COVID protocols are still in effect, hopefully more improved this year, along with fans back in stadiums. So,
yeah, I mean, if you watch the game Thursday, I'm pretty sure Florida just assumes COVID doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And same with Texas, too. When they were panning to Dallas's, like, at stadium watch, everyone was just all clumped together. Nobody was wearing a mask.
I really hope it doesn't get to the point, which it's hard to say, where they remove fans from being in stands. Even if they go down to limited capacity, I think that's at least something.
Just go down to vaccinated proof capacity, and that would be fine.
Right. You could do that. And I know some teams, I believe hockey started that, if I'm not mistaken. Matt, you might know more about that. But I believe there are some hockey arenas before the NHL kicks off this year, tips off or whatever you want to call it. Face off. There we go. That's what it is. Face off. Oh, my gosh. Until they, when they face off this year, some teams are doing that.
They were incentivizing, like getting vaccinated and you get a ticket to the game,
Yeah. All right, another headline. We have to talk about the five rookie head coaches this year in the NFL. We got Robert Saleh in New York. We got Brandon Staley out in L.A., Urban Meyer out in Jacksonville. We also have Nick Sirianni over in Philadelphia and David Culley in Houston. Now, looking at those brand new head coaches, who do you believe will have the best rookie season with their new team?
I'm going to go with Brandon Staley.
Okay. Yeah.
I think
is that the obvious pick?
Yeah. I think it's the most obvious pick. It's got the most talent, and I mean, he's one of the better defensive coordinators in the league. So I do think Brandon Staley will be more than likely, if as long as Herbert doesn't get the little sophomore slump, you know, where Baker had and everybody was throwing him at the wind. So if he can perform well enough just to be able to get by, I think the Chargers will be able to perform the best.
It's nice, too, because he's in a nice situation where it is a proven team. It has a lot of star players on the team. Defense, you have Joey Bosa, you have Derwin James. I mean, you have playmakers back there. And then you bring in one of the best defensive coordinators last year with the L.A. Rams. I mean, one of the best defenses in the league. Now he comes over to L.A., he's going to bring a lot of new different ways to just kind of revamp this defense. You have Kenneth Murray, who was a first-round pick a year ago. I mean, you have playmakers. And, of course, you have Herbert. You have...
Don't you really like Kenneth Murray?
I do really like him. I do really like him. We talked about it on the Pick Is In podcast. You have Austin Eckler coming back healthy. You still have Keenan Allen. You have Mike Williams trying to get paid and trying to get a new contract. I mean, you have guys. Honestly, the key part that's being underrated with this team is that you have probably one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And I think that's key for a young quarterback and trying to keep your running back healthy throughout the year.
They got a great left tackle in the first round, I will say. That was a steal to get at, what was it, 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as they don't let the doctors handle them.
And then you got the Packers' longtime center. You also have the Packers' longtime right tackle, which I don't know why, but I'm blanking on their names.
Corey Linsley and Brian Bulaga.
Thank you. So, I mean, you
have... Elsington Jenkins.
Yeah, he's going to be one great player. But, yeah, they have a nice revamp offensive line. Definitely, I think I'm with you guys there. It's hard to pick another player outside of Brandon Staley. Excuse me, head coach. Now, speaking of new head coaches, how about five rookies this year? We know Zach Wilson for the Jets is going to start.
Whoa. I want to talk about Urban Meyer.
Okay, what about Urban Meyer?
I think he's bad. I think
already?
I think
it's not even one game yet.
You've heard me for like the last 5-6 months of me just as an ex Ohio State fan. I do not like Urban Meyer.
Okay.
I don't like his face.
Okay. So I'm talking about appearance.
I don't like his demeanor.
Okay. What about coaching ability?
No, are you kidding me? I can't wait for him to pull the illness card when he quits on your team after you guys go 0-16.
Okay.
0-17. It's going to happen. There's nothing that's stood out to me this year to where I've been like, yeah, Urban Meyer was the right choice for that team. You know, how much controversy you already came off. You hired the guy that beat the hell out of his wife.
Oh, hey, we wanted to take...
Charlie Strong, too, his linebacker coach.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we wanted to take Kadarius Toney, but he got picked, so we panicked and took ETN.
Yeah, guess what?
That's a great way to sum that up, Matt, because that's exactly what happened.
And ETN can't play this year.
Thank you, Matt.
Oh, and hey, we drafted this guy number one overall. He's the generational talent at quarterback. We'll split the first team reps.
They split first team reps? Are you kidding me?
Robinson?
No.
With Gardner Minshew.
Sorry.
Yeah, Trevor and Gardner.
Yeah, they were splitting reps all the way up until the last week of the preseason. And then you trade him?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
For a six-round pick?
Because I think Minshew might be one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league if you kept him on your roster.
He's cheap.
Right, and I know Urban Meyer was preaching all offseason he wants competition. Now, the thing, I will play devil's advocate here. I will look at the other side. And not just because I'm a Jags fan, but like on a serious note, when you look at all these former college coaches that come to the NFL, you think of Greg Schiano with the Tampa Bay. You think of Chip Kelly with the
Eagles. Yikes.
Right. Disaster, yikes. Correct? Obviously.
Yeah.
Easily. Disaster. I completely understand. But now with Urban Meyer, why I think it's a little bit different is because Urban Meyer is not only coming into a situation, he's also coming to Jacksonville. He's not coming into Philadelphia. He's not coming into Tampa Bay. he's coming into a situation where his team held the number one overall pick, and he was able to help pick their draft decision. Now, I know Trevor Lawrence was hands down the pick, but if he really liked Zach Wilson more, he could have gone Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence was his guy, and he even said the reason why he came out of retirement was because Trevor Lawrence was his guy. He's a perfect guy. He can help develop into a future NFL superstar. So he's able to handpick his own quarterback. He's able to handpick his own first 7-8 picks in the draft, how many the Jaguars had, to get his guys. I know he loved Walker Little in the draft. We talked about Kadarius Toney. He was not able to get. But what I'm saying is his situation is a little bit different in that regard, where he's able to handpick his roster from day one and build the team the way he wants to. And he could end up being a disaster.
So like Chip Kelly, where he was given full control over everything.
Yes, but like, I don't want to say that just yet because we haven't seen how it has transitioned onto the NFL field outside of preseason, outside of training camp, outside of those storylines. I just want to see. I'm waiting and seeing before that.
That's fine. That's fine. You make valid points, but you also forgetting to state that Walker Little has played like dog water and Tyson Campbell isn't even
playing. A mystery right now.
Yeah, Tyson, along with CJ Henderson's kind of a mystery too.
Actually, CJ's fine now.
Which is good because it was a ninth overall pick a year ago. I know he said some interesting things to happen on his side through the offseason, but hopefully he's back on track. Again, Tyson Campbell is the 33rd overall pick in the draft. Travis Etienne is done for the year already. Walker Little, yes, I don't think they imagined him to start, though. I will say he was a second-round pick out of Stanford. Former five-star recruit out of Texas.
How many games did he play?
He didn't play that many in college because he was hurt, and he opted out of last season because of different COVID protocols. And
so you drafted that guy in the second round.
Yes.
When you probably could have got him in the fourth.
At the same time, Cam Robinson hasn't been the same caliber player he was rookie year. Now, I know this is a big year for him.
Are we still talking about Cam Robinson?
Because he's trying to get paid. And you got Juwan Taylor last year who struggled. We'll see what happens with year two with Juwan Taylor, or year three, excuse me. So there are question marks on the offensive line. It did not look good in the preseason. I will say that.
What about tight end?
I don't even want to talk about tight end. They don't even have a tight end on the roster.
Jacksonville doesn't know what a tight end is.
They don't have a tight end on the roster. Let's just face it, okay? They have three blocking tight ends. That's it. And they have one actually receiving tight end, and they didn't even make the roster. So,
yeah. I think the Packers will be willing to trade Mercedes Lewis.
You get Kevin
Bring him
King
back
while you're there, too.
Yeah, I don't think they need another blocking tight end.
You don't like Sternenberger?
You know what?
Did he make the roster? I need to find out.
I don't know. We'll have to check on that. But that's enough Jaguar talk. Anyways, let's talk about these rookie quarterbacks.
Fine.
Let's talk about these rookie quarterbacks. Speaking of Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence is in that same folder. You got Zach Wilson. You have Mac Jones starting for the Patriots. You have three starting quarterbacks confirmed. And, of course, the other two first-round picks, third overall pick, Trey Lance with the San Francisco 49ers, who's out with an injury right now, so Jimmy G will start week one.
Okay.
And then Justin Fields as well, who will not start. Andy Dalton is a starter for the Chicago Bears. Out of those five quarterbacks, we know three are starting right now. Who ends up at the end of the year the best rookie season?
Listen, Trey Lance's injury was a chip on his finger. Mm-hmm. They did that. They also gave him an injury designation to return in 7 days, which kind of happens to land on the next day after their game.
Oh, it's funny how that works out.
No quarterback controversy coming up to the game. Just having Trey Lance get his boo-boo on his finger. He will still dress up, though.
Yeah.
Probably Trevor. He'll play the whole year. He's got a good surrounding cast around him as long as Chark can get going, especially how healthy and consistent LaVishka can go. I mean, he could be an all-star this season if he consistently gets targeted. God, I hope so. He's on every fantasy team I own.
Big Chenault guy. I'm a huge Chenault guy this year, and I'm with you there. You did steal him from me in a bunch of leagues, but I'll tell you what. Trevor Lawrence, I love. I know there's been a lot of hype about Zach Wilson this preseason. He's looked really good. Mac Jones. Is he the heir apparent to Tom Brady?
Disney Plus,
we don't
know.
But I'll tell you what. Crazy as it sounds, I think Justin Fields by the end of the year could end up being the best rookie year.
I don't want him to touch the field
at all.
Not with this
line. I don't want this David Carr line happening again.
Sure, that is a good point.
Patience.
It is a very good point. I know it's a banged up offensive line who will probably struggle once again
banged
this
up.
Year.
It's just garbage.
And Jenkins, who they moved up in the second round to get, who I think will be a good player once he gets on the field, but it won't be for a while. So it's another big question mark
Jason
there.
Peters looks pretty good.
Jason Peters, who's, what, 39 at this point?
He looked pretty good.
Best years are behind him, but still he's a guy who can step in, and
We need anything at tackles. We need anything.
We need anything at anything. So I just don't understand. So let's have Jermaine Afidi, you know, be really good at a right guard. Hey, you know that position you got cut from every time that you played it at Seattle? Yeah, let's go back to it. Oh, Tevin Jenkins, you were right tackle in the league? Yeah, let's go to left tackle.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Again, sometimes Penny the philosophy... Sewell,
right tackle.
Yeah, the philosophy, I don't understand. This is where my frustration with Ryan Pace begins, just because the idea of when you draft these guys...
This isn't a Ryan Pace decision.
But he's in on these decisions of why you want... You draft him, he's a right tackle. He's always been a right tackle, but why you moved him to left? You know what I mean? Like, why would you even consider that? Now, if there's an injury, sure. If you have to slide him over, that's different. But when you're all of a sudden drafting me right tackle and you're going to say, yep, day one, we need you to play left. Like, you're just, I feel like you're setting yourself up to fail at that point.
Yeah, I remember the last time we switched an offensive lineman from guard or guard tackle to tackle to guard was Kyle Long, and we watched him go from all pro to garbage and out of the league.
He's back in the league now.
He's in Kansas. He's on the pup list.
Okay, but he's still on an NFL team at least.
For now. For the defense of Tevin Jenkins, Tevin was very raw. He's a really good run blocker, so that would be really good at the left tackle. He has enough athleticism to learn both ways, and if he continues to learn it, that's fine. We haven't heard any hiccups, complaints about anything about it. I mean, you can watch Penei Sewell at right tackle. Horrible. Yeah, he looks bad.
Again, it's the same situation. So, left tackle and moving right.
Speaking on that, he's actually probably going to start at left tackle this week.
Penei Sewell you're talking about?
Yep.
So they're going to move Taylor Decker.
Taylor's
again,
hurt.
This is important because the Bears do play the Lions twice this year.
Taylor's hurt. Division.
Okay, that's why.
But still, so you have a guy that's been learning the right tackle position for the whole offseason, and then 2 days away from the game, you're like, hey, you're going to play left tackle. I guarantee you he'll probably have a good game because he's a left tackle. That's it. He's not a right tackle. Some people can switch and some people can play different, like Elgin and Jenkins. Wow, man, that guy's a god.
He can play literally every offensive line position.
Some players have that gene, have that ability to swap positions on the offensive line, which is very few because it's tough. Again, offensive linemen will tell you that. Moving from left to right, right to left, like we've been talking about, it's a different world to some players. They can't do it. They can be an all-pro left tackle, they go to right tackle, and they can't do it. Or it can be vice versa. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, but
like Kyle Long, when he was talking about players switching from right to the left side, it's like imagine you trying to write with your opposite hand. Like, it's that hard to do.
Can't do it.
And that's fine because I think Tevin did play left tackle in high school. So they moved him to right tackle for, 2-3 years in college, and then he goes back to left tackle. That's why it's not a big deal. Panay's always been a left tackle.
Right.
That's why I'm confused. And Detroit was like, oh, wow, we got this really good offensive lineman that just landed here. Let's take him and then use him at a different position. They could have traded back.
Generally, with offensive line, I think you can agree, Jake. Sometimes, I know last year was kind of an anomaly with Tristan Wirfs and Jedrick Willis and even Mekhi Becton kind of stepped in and were really good players day one. But sometimes it does generally take for offensive linemen to adjust. It takes them a little bit to adjust to the NFL level.
Jedrick was not good last year.
Am I thinking of Andrew Thomas then? No, Andrew Thomas struggled
Thomas struggled for the first 4 or 5 games and then turned it up.
But they were all
and now he sucks again. Jedrick, well, the thing is, Jedrick was a right tackle, right? Mm-hmm. Let's put him in left tackle.
It's the same thing. Situation.
Same situation. He could have been a phenomenal right tackle. I think he'll get a lot better. He's got the drive. He's really smart. That's a good offensive line coach. I think he'll be fine. Mekhi, really good, obviously. Tristan, he got bullied yesterday. Right.
And again, that's just my point.
He would have allowed a sack if it weren't for a holding penalty.
Right. Yeah. That's just my point where, like, those guys are kind of an anomaly where they kind of step in, they can start. But most of the time, offensive linemen do take a year or two just to kind of develop, kind of like that tight end position. It's hard to not only to adjust the NFL level, but also sometimes different positions, it does take a little bit of time for them to bloom.
Did Quinn didn't have to adjust?
Quinn was like...
What about Zach?
Okay, but those guys are both from great colleges. What about
Frederick?
It's a great offensive line.
What about Tyron?
Again, you're talking about superstar caliber players. We're not saying day one that Penei Sewell or Tevin Jenkins is a superstar caliber player.
He needs
We're not
to be, or I'm going to lose my mind.
But what I'm saying is it does take time. So even if he comes back this year, Jenkins, at all, and he doesn't really look that great, just give him time. He's injured. He didn't really get all the reps during training camp.
Do you
He's
know
not getting
who,
reps.
What fan base you're talking to?
I understand the Bears like to...
Andy in preseason.
Yeah. One of the most overreactive fan bases in the NFL.
That's why I'm trying to give out a little warning call. Like, just relax, okay? Again, he didn't get all the reps in the preseason. He didn't get reps in training camp.
Can you say the whole relax thing as a Bears fan?
I feel like I can because you can say it all over the place. I know the Packers are famous for it. Rodgers is famous for it, but still.
Yeah, Rodgers is famous for confusing me. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We got the new taunting penalty this year in the NFL.
Garbage. Thoughts on that? Garbage. That's it.
Hate it?
Garbage.
It's going to be horrible.
Stupid.
There's going to be so many plays this year that we're going to talk about that are just horrible calls. There's
garbage. Some, it's just like targeting in college. It's garbage.
There's some players, when you're a running back, I think it was the Colts game I'm thinking of in my brain
right
now.
Oh, yeah, he stood up and just flexed.
Yes, he literally stood up and flexed. It was a big run because he ran over the linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a big like, if you're a smaller back, it's a big accomplishment to just run over a linebacker, even in preseason. But the fact that he literally stood up, was excited, like, yeah, like he's trying to fight for a roster spot. Let him get excited. He just ran over a linebacker, and you're just trying to throw the flag on that. If it's constantly directing it towards a player where you're wiggling your finger back and forth, like what Tyreek does, or the safety for Tampa Bay, Antoine Winfield
Jr.
Thank you. So when players do that, it's a little bit different. But when you're doing what that Colts running back did, it's like, dude, let him play, man.
Listen, as the emergency quarterback here, if – they had that rule in high school or college, whatever. I would have been flagged at probably 1,000 times.
It comes down to just, it's like when it comes to PI, when both the cornerback and the receiver are just playing, trying to get open, trying to get separation.
You mean grab ass?
Sure. Let those guys, sometimes you just have to let them play. If it's competitive, just let them play. That's the thing.
The hand battle is going
to
happen.
Right. I get it. Now, there has been over the last couple of years been more scuffles, which I know the NFL wants to get away from that. There has been a lot more, as more tension has been rising in the NFL between really any teams. But again, just sometimes you got to read the situation a little bit better. I know there's so many refs on the field. Just read the situation better. Discuss it at least. Huddle up and discuss it. Decide if you want to keep it as a taunting penalty or not. I think that's what needs to happen. I don't like it.
You're asking too much out of NFL refs.
Yeah, you would think. Can't even decide what a catch is at. Anyways, Jake, I know you like this one.
No, I'm green.
New jersey number.
Oh, I think it's phenomenal.
We have a linebacker, Dane Trevathan, has switched from number 59 to now number 6.
Did you just assume he had Urlacher's number?
I don't know why. It's 50-something. I couldn't remember what his jersey number was. But he's now number 6. So just for example, a linebacker using the number 6
jersey.
He's
not even starting. I don't care.
But for example.
Or Micah Parsons having 11.
I think
sure, absolutely.
It's slick. I mean, a lot of people are going to be against it, but I think that's just...
I like it. It gives them more flexibility. I know there's some players that like to wear the same high school jersey number.
Bro,
like
if I can wear one as a linebacker, I'm going to do it. Are you kidding me? I think it's awesome.
James Robinson switching. I know it's not different, but he switched from
30 to 25. That is not even anywhere in the same realm.
But he's a local kid.
Eddie Jackson switching
number.
To 4.
Yeah, see, Eddie's 4 is kind of ugly. I'm going to be honest with you.
As a safety, number 4?
No, I just think the 4 is ugly. Okay. It reminds me of Favre.
I think the 6 is a little weird in the Bears jersey. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, I associate that with anti-vax and Cutler now at this point.
Yeah, I just think, well, as a linebacker wearing it, compared to Cutler having that, it's just a little weird to me, I feel like.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's talk about some really just big headlines. We talked a little about the Bucs and Cowboys. Just real quick, bringing back all their starters, which is amazing in itself. You draft a really nice prospect in the first round, edge rusher. Will the Bucs repeat this year? Will we see the first repeat champs?
Did you watch Tom Brady play?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, that's all I needed to say.
The last team that has repeated as champs was the New England Patriots back in 2003-04. Pop quiz, Matt. Who was the quarterback then?
Tom Brady.
Matt Castle.
And he's still in the league now. No. And he's still in the league now. So... Bucks, are they the early favorite? Is there a team that should be favorite over the Bucks right now?
If we're going off of Vegas odds, I can't say anybody else would be the favorite, but still, you can't.
No,
just...
it's just in your mind. Is there a favorite? Do you have a favorite that's above the Bucks?
I mean, I'd still want to go Kansas City, but okay. Tampa Bay, they're still going to be a really tough team to beat. They still could have the number one defense, and Tom Brady's still the best quarterback, but... Kansas City, they're just a team with how good Mahomes is and how Tyreek Hill and Kelce are. You can't count them out of anything.
You know, speaking of the Chiefs, I'm glad you brought them up. This is a team that also has made a lot of changes in the offseason. They've completely revamped their offensive line. Take notes, Chicago Bears. Completely revamped their offensive line. Orlando Brown, who is an all-pro caliber right tackle, now going to play left tackle with the Kansas City Chiefs. We brought up Kyle Long. They brought in who might not play.
Wait, who? He was left tackle with the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, yeah. He wanted
left tackle.
Exactly. But he was a right tackle, and he had to play left tackle because Ronnie Stanley, a former Notre Dame tackle, was hurt. Therefore, he had to slide in there and replace him. And then he got traded to the Chiefs because he wants to get paid left tackle money because he's looking for a contract after this year. So
And then they also got Joe Thuney, too.
Right, they got Joe Thuney, paid big money for Joe Thuney as well.
Trey Smith is starting.
Yeah, how about that? Trey Smith, who, again, was a highly recruited player, was a five-star recruit, one of the best recruits in the country, went to Tennessee, was a late-round pick, slipped in the draft, but now he's starting for the Kansas City Chiefs, along with Creed Humphrey as well, who was one of the top centers in this past draft class as well. I mean, they have really pieces all over the place.
They saw what happened to Mahomes in the Super Bowl, and they're like, no more.
Yeah, and again, I know those were all backups for the most part, but you have to put your best step forward. You have to protect your guy that's worth $500 million. Literally, $500 million he's worth. You got to protect Patrick Mahomes. All right, how about drama in Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, a roller coaster of emotions this offseason. Jake, I know you're smirking over there. Roller coaster of emotions for Green Bay Packer fans. Aaron Rodgers is back again this year. This could be his last year. We don't know. Davante Adams looking for a contract. Just overall thoughts on the drama. Are you surprised that Rodgers came back at all?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised about that. I mean, the offseason, he was pretty much checked out for a lot of things. I believe if he was offered the job for Jeopardy, which he came out and said he wasn't because they botched that whole thing up, he would have accepted it and probably would have retired. I do have a little beef with them. Is Rodgers and Davante were posting Last Dance stuff. Guys,
yeah, you can't.
You guys
that.
Won one Super Bowl and you guys weren't even on the same team.
I was pretty sure
Davante was still in the college.
He was still at Fresno State.
Yeah, so I assume, and Davante basically said, yeah, we're not going to reach an extension deal. We probably won't at all. So more than likely, he's going to go to the Raiders. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
it's reunite crazy. With Derek Carr.
Right, and that was his college teammate at Fresno State. But still, it's pretty crazy the fact that, again, if I'm Davante Adams, yeah, I'm one of the best receivers in the league. I'm looking for a payday. But if Rodgers isn't guaranteed more than 1 year, no, I'm not staying in Green Bay because you don't know. I feel like, Jake, you and I have talked about this for a good length amount of time. If Davante Adams knew that Jordan Love could be the next big thing, again, we don't know yet, you think that he might want to stay around or maybe say some positive things about him.
Nobody has said anything positive.
That's the thing, is that if you know Jordan Love's the next thing, you would want to stick around and be a part of that. That is not the case so far from what we have seen from the outside.
I've seen enough elite ball placement from Jordan Love to know that he's dog water right now. I mean, he had a good game. I will say that he's more than likely going to be Jared Goff with a Sean McVay essentially in his ear, but it'll be whatever his name, LaFleur. Mm-hmm. But this whole situation with Davante reportedly is wanting $27 million a year.
Really?
Yeah. That's big money. And they can't afford that because they're going to be negative $40 million in cap next year without even a contract for Davante.
And they got to think about Jair Alexander, too.
Yeah, you got to pay him. He's probably one of the best corners in the league.
No. You don't have to pay him.
Yeah, they can all just go. They can all just go.
Yeah, please. All right, last note here before we talk about Bears and Rams. Jameis Winston starting for the New Orleans Saints, beating out Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater in Denver, another veteran quarterback in a new place this year. What do you guys think of those two quarterbacks in new places?
I want to talk about the Broncos thing. I think a lot of people are forgetting about last year and where essentially Drew Locke, Brett Rippon, and whatever the other...
The quarterback that was actually a receiver.
And it was some other practice squad guy, but when they all got COVID together because they were trying to hide and they were hiding their stuff in the, you know, in the corners of the room, I'm pretty sure Fangio thought about that when he was making a quarterback decision.
Was it Jeff Driscoll?
Yeah, something like that. Where they all, yeah, I think that's basically what came down to it. Teddy's a really good guy. Teddy's a really good leader. Everybody follows him. Everybody loves him. So I'm pretty sure that was the main reason. We've seen enough of Drew Locke. Let's be honest. I don't think he's going to be good. The only person in the world that thinks he's going to be good is his mom. Mm-hmm. She got kicked off Twitter recently because she was spewing hateful stuff. So
I'll say what, Teddy Bridgewater from, again, he's a good guy. He's a good leader, like you said. A lot of teammates have loved him in the past. They've said that. They've spoke highly about him. But on fantasy perspective, he has supported two nice years with Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore last year. He's a guy who can sling the ball. He did it with the Saints and spot starts when Drew Brees was banged up a few years ago. I think Teddy Bridgewater is a nice... I think he's in a nice position with Denver. You have a nice young receiving core.
I think he is... Now, as cheesy as it sounds, I think he's the best bridge quarterback.
Ba-bum-bum.
I could realistically see if at least he plays average to like game management to 10-7. You know, I think that's respectable. I don't think this is a, you know, save your job type quarterback decision from Fangio. I really think Locke just disappointed him in so many ways to where it just had to be done. I mean, if Teddy goes out there and craps the bed, and then I don't know what.
It could happen. Jameis Winston, on the other hand, he could be in store for a big year. I know he had LASIK eye surgery a while back, so he could be the new and improved Jameis Winston. Again, we're talking about a talent who was the number one overall pick a few years ago. I know he has to limit the turnovers. That's the big thing that's always been a concern with him.
Yeah, I think he's got to limit the turnovers and maybe not grope Uber drivers as well. That probably will help his New Orleans stint.
Do we think the Saints will be anywhere near they were last year? I know Drew Brees, it's hard to replace a guy like that. It's hard to find consistency without him in your lineup, but Michael Thomas is also banged up. Marquez Callaway looks to be taking over that number one job at receiver. You still have Alvin Kamara. You still have some pieces there. Adam Trautman's banged up right
now. Traquan, you are such a disappointment.
It's hard. You've had so many opportunities. He's had,
yeah, all the opportunities in the world, but he's just...
I think
the saving grace
for a lot of this is Trautman not getting severely injured and just a boo-boo. I think he's going to be a very good, critical part of that offense. A lot of people don't understand that he was, you know, one of the guys that has a really good skill set to fit that team. And if Jameis can, you know, go out there and throw a couple touchdowns and maybe some picks, I think it'll be fine. Sean Payton, again, one of the better offensive coordinator head coaches and GMs out there. A lot of people forget that. I mean, look at how much he made Teddy Bridgewater with $40+ million with the Panthers, and Teddy Bridgewater is probably not worth that money. So I'm pretty sure it's fine. You still got Alvin Kamara, you got Slant Boy, you got
and a really good offensive line too.
Really good offensive line with Ramczyk.
Yeah.
What?
One of the best in the league.
I thought you said the best in the league.
No, one of the best in the league. I'm not going to give him the best, but one of the best for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good things. I don't think this is a horrible team and what people are, you know, kind of writing them off. As long as Jameis can, even if he does another 30-30, you know, that was still pretty good for them.
Right.
So it all comes down to it. I'm all up for it. You know, it is what it is.
All right, finally, we have to talk about this Bears and Rams Sunday Night Football matchup in primetime. Now, I know it has not worked out for Bears, at least recently.
Yeah, I'm watching a movie that night.
What also doesn't work out is that Sean McVay has had a long offseason to plan for this game, which is also not a good sign if you're a Bears fan, because Sean McVay is one of the smartest coaches in the league, and you give him more than enough time to plan for you, he's going to find ways to beat you. I think he's 4-0 in season openers.
Are you telling me that the host for Campbell's Soup is good at game planning?
I think he is. Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be a very big test for Sean Desai. I think this is going to come down to a very good test. I mean, you know, obviously, they know Stafford.
You're just going to dive right into the deep end day one against the Rams.
Yeah, but he's been groomed to be Fangio's disciple. I mean, this man, and you can see, as much as Pagano's a good guy and God bless his soul, the players, they hated him. If Khalil Mack speaks bad about you, dude, you're bad.
Sometimes there's some coaches out there that just cannot connect to players. And hopefully, again, the new defensive coordinator can reach some of these guys, which so far, I've heard, has been good.
I think Sean Desai, watching a lot of the off-field stuff and off-season stuff with the Bears on their YouTube account, their TikTok account, you see Sean Desai he's very high energy, just like Nagy. They connect with their players, coaches. I mean, now we have the turnover bucket, which I think is an awesome idea. You actually utilizing your players in the right way of putting Robert Quinn as a defensive end and stop using him as an outside backer.
Thank God.
The dude is meant to go straight into the left and tackle the quarterback and not drop back. That's stupid. I don't even care if Khalil Mack drops back a couple times. Just rush the passer. So I think Sean Desai is going to be a lot better. I'm a little concerned about the corners. More than likely, we're going to play a lot of zone, I think. Gibson back there, if he can continue playing how he was, I think it's going to be a good, you know, the stability back there. If Eddie can tackle anything, I'd be happy.
Yeah, that's where the big improvement needs to happen. Eddie Jackson needs to get back to his all-pro level, because last year his tackling was god-awful.
Yeah, I really hope Alec Ogletree picks off the Rams a couple times just a stick
revenge game. Revenge game.
I mean, if you watched Alec Ogletree, that man looked like a monster. I know it's preseason, but good Lord, he came in off a visit to watch Robert Quinn's sister run the race in the Olympics, and they were like, "Hey, you want a job?" And now he's the starting inside backer.
Literally,
I know Danny's hurt, but still, he looks a lot better than Danny.
He was at training camp for 2 weeks, and he got 7 interceptions in practice. 2 weeks.
Now, is that a good thing for Alec Ogletree or a bad thing for the Bears offense?
I think that's a good thing for Alec Ogletree because he was the only person that we heard about doing that. Because he came, he has the unique speed. He's got the size. He's got leadership. He's started in a lot of places. Honestly, I don't know why he didn't have a job. I think, honestly, he might be in the right spot. Also, he's wearing 44. I can't hate him. That's the number, man.
Sure.
That's your number.
That's your number back in high school. Absolutely.
As the emergency quarterback.
All right. One last thing about the Bears. Okay, now it's been a crazy offseason. I know they moved up in the draft to take Justin Fields. We're all ecstatic about that. We all broke out in cheer and singing, happy days, happy days. You know, Justin Fields, hopefully he's the guy. Yeah, absolutely. All good feelings. Now, if I were to just throw a question out here. If there's a guy on this roster that you think needs to step up this year, a guy that you have an eye on this year, who would it be on either offense, defense, special teams, wherever? Who is the guy that you think needs to step up and have a big year? Because I know mine right now. If you want me to go first, I'm
go first.
Okay. I'm going to the defensive backfield. I'm going Jalen Johnson. Second round pick a year ago. Now, I know the Bears this offseason, surprising move, who I don't necessarily agree with, but you did move on from.
I don't think any of us agree with it.
Right. Pro Bowl cornerback Kyle Fuller. You moved on from. He signed instantly with Denver.
But, I wonder why.
Yeah. Reuniting with his old defensive corner. But still, I think Jalen Johnson has to step up. He has the talent. He had a really good rookie season. Now you're transitioning from the number two cornerback. Kyle Fuller really shadowed the number one in most offenses last year. Now you move from number two to the number one. And I'll tell you what, the depth chart is very thin moving down the line there. So Jalen Johnson has to have a big year. He has to solidify that there was a reason, there was a plan that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace decided to let Kyle Fuller go to save money so they could sign Andy Dalton. But there's a reason why they did it is because they were really high on Jalen Smith. Now we have to see a transition to him be that number one corner in his second year in the league.
I hope we don't have Jalen Smith as a corner.
Excuse me, Jalen Johnson. I had Jalen Smith in my mind.
That would be horrible.
That'd be Jalen a slow Johnson. Corner.
Is Jalen Johnson is my guy, the second-year cornerback of Utah, to step up and be, he needs to have a big year. That's my guy this year. He has to step up.
We just talked about him a little bit ago, but my guy, it's got to be Robert Quinn. He's going to be put in a better situation this year. I've been preaching it ever since we signed him. Just keep his hand in the dirt. That's when he's had the best years of his career, whether it's with the Rams or his one good year with Dallas. Keep his hand in the dirt. Don't have him stand up. We need somebody to get the triple teams off of Khalil Mack, and he was paid the, $75-90 million to do that.
Oh, yeah.
We need Khalil Mack to have some one-on-ones or even some double teams because I'm tired of seeing Khalil Mack triple teamed all game and nobody else can do anything.
You're speaking to the choir. We're all sick of it because Khalil Mack is one of the most talented players in the entire NFL, and really, the NFL just hasn't seen it over the last year or so just because the guy has taken up so much. I don't know what's the right word for it. Just taking up so much
attention.
I think that's a perfect word. So much attention on the offensive side of the ball when they're trying to scheme against him. That Khalil Mack, we got to make sure we protect him. You got to put two guys on, put three guys on because, well, hey, we got Leonard Floyd or we got Robert Quinn on the other side. Well, we're not really afraid of those guys. Just let those guys have one-on-one opportunities. Nothing really works.
Are you talking about like 11 sack Leonard Floyd?
Who's going to absolutely
destroy us Sunday?
We just talked about Alec Ogletree having a revenge game. Talk about Leonard Floyd having a revenge game against the Bears. That hasn't been brought up yet. But anyways, still, Robert Quinn, 100%. He has to step up. Otherwise, it's going to be bye-bye at the end of the year.
Yeah, and you want to talk about helping a bad secondary, potentially. That's how you do it, with a good pass rush.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Jake, who's your guy, the guy you have to look out for, the guy that you think needs to step up this year?
Monty. I need consistency. The last 8 weeks of the season, that man was a monster. He looked amazing. I mean, he was the fourth rated running back in PPR. You know, I don't really give two craps about fantasy for the Bears. I'd rather win. But I need more consistency. Of course, that comes with offensive line play and running the ball more than once or twice.
Play calling as well. Yeah, you're right.
So I would like Monty to step up because we all know he's a good running back. We've watched him.
We've seen him break so many tackles.
Yeah, he's a dog out there, but inconsistency between the offensive line, play calling, just everything. I mean, because if nobody's threatened by Andy, they stack the box, Dave is not going anywhere.
So the big topic this offseason, we're talking, like, I know you say you don't want to talk about fantasy, but they were talking about how Dave Montgomery is ranked so low is because at the end of the year he was playing weak defenses. I get it. That's a fair point. But also a new offensive coordinator who believed in running the ball more consistently, and that's what they did with Dave Montgomery going down the stretch. Now, with Matt Nagy taking over play calls, is it a little bit more concerning that we could go back to what we saw the first half of the season last year?
I don't know. I was pretty happy watching him and Fields. You know, I was watching the play calling with Fields. I think it was a lot different. Honestly, I really think we were handcuffed by Mitch, but, you know, NFL players don't think so. Like, Kyle Long and Roberto Garza. And
right.
I don't know. Again, play calling is always a concern. Mm-hmm. Again, I think Nagy's a good head coach. I don't know if he's a great play caller.
But also, no matter what, with the quarterback situation, with either it's Andy Dalton or Justin Fields playing, with a young quarterback, you need to help develop that consistent run game. Even with a quarterback like Andy Dalton, who can't win you the game with just his arm, you need to have that run game as well. So either way you look at it, whoever's playing behind the center, you need to have that consistent run game, and that's something that Matt Nagy needs to get through his head. You have to have that. All right, let's transition to talk some fantasy here. We're 15 minutes in, and we haven't even talked fantasy, which is pretty crazy.
Did you say 15?
50.
Oh.
50 minutes in. We've been talking a lot about headlines, and of course.
50?
Bears and Rams. We're really excited about the season.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
All right, so talking some fantasy. We're talking about some injuries here. There's not a lot because it is week one, so most of the players are healthy going into this week.
Excuse me, my guy.
The players that we don't know that are already out.
Excuse me, my guy. My whole team is decimated.
Yeah.
Before week one even started.
So a couple guys we have listed as questionable right now is running backs Austin Eckler dealing with a hamstring injury, Saquon Barkley dealing with a knee injury, Josh Jacobs with the toe. Those are just the questionable running backs right now. Receivers, same boat here. We got Odell Beckham Jr. still coming back from that torn ACL along with Saquon Barkley. Mooney, who I believe was a full participant in practice on Friday, but he is dealing with a back injury, but I believe he was a full participant on Friday.
He's dealing with a back injury from carrying our team.
Nelson Aguilar dealing with an ankle injury, and Emmanuel Sanders dealing with a foot injury. Only two guys have been ruled out. Now, this is not breaking news if you are a fantasy owner out there, but Gus Edwards, the running back for the Ravens, who was supposed to take over for J.K. Dobbins, who tore his ACL.
Mm.
Gus Edwards also tore his ACL in practice earlier this week. And tight end Evan Engram is out with a calf injury. He will not play on Sunday.
Hilarious, Jordan. You know, it's funny because I kept JK in a lot of my dynasty leagues, and then I thought I was going to be, you know, 40 chess and get Gus pretty early. Yeah.
It's smart.
Well, it's smart.
And it worked
but
out.
Now you can see my clown costume showing because half of my running backs are decimated.
Yeah. It's, again, you've had a rough. Injuries happen. You can't predict injuries. You know, like, dude, we all expect it.
I think they need to see whatever's going on with the Ravens. Are you kidding me?
How about, you know what they should do? Are they playing on Soldier Field for practicing? Is that what's happening? What's going on over there? Are they practicing where they're maybe at Washington Stadium? They also got a pretty bad stadium over there. Are they practicing over there?
Or San Francisco Stadium?
Oh, gosh. There's a bunch of stadiums out there. Yeah.
That's where players go to die.
That's where you die.
There's a bunch of bad
Candlestick's horrible.
All right. Now let's talk about some of our player highlights. We're going to run through the list, quarterback, tight end, running back, and receiver. Also do our kicker challenge, as well as just last minute, we're going to recap week one, some of the games we're looking at, and of course give a final prediction for the Bears and Rams. But we're going to start off with quarterback. Matt, would you like to lead us off again this year?
Sure, and I'll start off with Teddy Bridgewater, one of the new starters. So he's walking into an offense with Jerry Jeudy, who's looking to go into a strong second year, and then Courtland Sutton coming back from the injury, who was a really good receiver before he got hurt. And then Noah Fant, too. Even though Teddy doesn't really throw to tight ends, this is probably the most talented tight end he's worked with so far.
He's never thrown to tight ends.
And then they got a decent running back core to work with. So Teddy Bridgewater this week against the Giants, which the Giants defense, I think, is going to be on the field a lot. Daniel Jones, he did not look good in preseason. So Giants defense going to be on the field a lot. They're going to get tired. Teddy Bridgewater, he's going to throw it all over the place. I think he's going to put up good numbers this week.
Yeah, like I talked about, he did support two nice quality receivers last year in DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson in Carolina. I'm going to expect
Oh, even Curtis Samuel too was top 25.
Thank you. That so three top 40 receivers.
Three top 25.
Was it top 25? Yeah. Okay. That's nuts. I think I don't know if we can expect the same type numbers, but I think there's gonna be same quality with Jerry Jeudy, with Courtland Sutton this year. Even KJ Hamler might be a little bit of a sleeper there as well. So there's a couple guys that he can't support this year. So I am looking forward to the production that the Broncos could have this year at the quarterback position. The guy I'm going with, we talked about a lot earlier, and that is the rookie making his first start, Trevor Lawrence, going up against the Houston Texans, who finished 27th last year against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. Now, the thing with Trevor Lawrence, we talked about before, with Gardner Minshew and him having shared reps, the more reps you give Lawrence, the more he's going to learn. That's just the type of player he was. One of the best high school quarterbacks, was number one overall ranked player, went to Clemson, was one of the best quarterbacks as a freshman, one of the best quarterbacks historically throughout his career in college. This is a guy who will learn the more opportunities you give him. Looked great versus Dallas. I know it was preseason, but looked really good against them. And I understand you have to look at the matchup. Now they're playing Houston, one of the worst teams in the league.
Texans.
Exactly. And that's kind of probably going to be a theme
this
year.
Can we ban them? Anybody that plays the Texans, just assume, just start them.
Right. It's going to be,
Can we ban them for the group? Like, no Texans.
We could try. Unless it's like a deep play, like a deep receiver or whatever. But yeah.
Well, I'm just talking quarterback.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Andy Dalton against the Texans defense might put up 6 touchdowns.
Like I said, I think it's all about matchups. And sometimes you can stream quarterbacks in fantasy. Sometimes that's really all it is. It's all about great matchups for quarterbacks. What? Trevor Lawrence, I think, could be in store for a big day.
If you're streaming Trevor, what league are you in?
Just for example, that has worked in the past. But yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence is in store for a big day. Another note, though, Houston traded the number one quarterback, Bradley Roby, this week to New Orleans. Not sure what they're doing. I'm not saying he's the guy who can hold this defense together.
Did he just get traded from Denver?
I think it was a year ago.
Went to free agency, one of the two. Yeah.
What was you doing?
But still, the number one cornerback was dealt. So again, I'm not sure what the Texans are doing. A week before
draft
the season,
capital.
They trade the number one corner. So I think it's just all signs are pointing up for Trevor
Lawrence. Anybody out there with notes from Rice, notes from Jake over here, don't draft Watson. What's wrong with you? Looking at you, Matt. What's your quarterback? What is your quarterback?
Hey, Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson. But okay. 16th round, Deshaun Watson, the second to last round, just on the chance. I could cut him at any time and I wouldn't be out a lot. Just the chance that he comes back.
All right,
this
what
year.
About your 8th round pick?
Good old Chase Edmonds. We may get back to him later.
All right, Matt, who's your second quarterback pick this week?
Oh, hey. I'm right here, bud. I got quarterbacks.
Who's your quarterback?
Baker Mayfield.
Okay, against the Chiefs?
Yeah. Tyron's going to be out because he's got COVID.
Okay.
Because he's not vaccinated.
No, he's vaccinated.
Why is he out
Is he officially out?
Because he got tested. Even if you're vaccinated, you still got to get tested, and he got it.
Yeah, he got tested twice. Oh, so he still has it?
Yeah.
Oh, rip.
Yeah.
Damn. Double homicide. So, Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to be great stopping Chubb and Hunt again. That defense did not really get much better. I know it was pretty decent at the end of the year, but again, stopping Chubb and Hunt with a lot of play action, a lot of mixed moving, especially if Odell plays.
Sure.
You have Juan Thornhill back there that is 4th on the depth chart now. Daniel Sorensen. Dirty garbage coverage back there. I don't know the other safeties. Honestly, you can probably get one or two deep. Baker's got a good deep ball. But yeah, I think Baker's got a decent matchup against them as long as they game plan well, run a lot of play action, and just keep handing it off to Chubb and Hunt.
And you still have options. That's why I think Cleveland on paper might be one of the better rosters in the NFL because you have talent. You got Jarvis Landry, you have Austin Hooper, you have even David Njoku coming back. You have Donovan Peoples-Jones. I mean, you have guys there for Cleveland for Baker Mayfield and company. All right, man, who's your second quarterback?
My second quarterback is going to be Kirk Cousins going up against the Bengals. The Bengals ended the year last year 20th against quarterbacks, and they didn't really seem to get much better. They re-signed.
Oh, my God. Did you say the Bengals defense? How dare you? Put some respect on Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson.
They lost Carl Lawson, though, who is also really good.
Yeah.
Fair.
He's playing. Wait, am I thinking Shaq or Carl? Which one tore their Achilles or ACL?
That was Carl. One who just signed with the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So glad he's missed, right?
So yeah, Vikings still known as one of the higher powered offenses in the NFL with Justin Jefferson, Thielen, and Dalvin Cook. They're all going to put up good fantasy numbers this year. And if Justin Jefferson and Thielen are putting up good numbers, Kirk's going to put up good numbers. And against the Bengals this week, I like his matchup.
You mean Kirk COVID?
Kirk, yes.
You know, Kirk, at the end of the year, he did finish as a top 12 quarterback, which in a 12-team league, that's a quarterback one. He did have a nice year last year in fantasy terms. The guy I'm going with is a guy you picked a lot last year, Matt, and that is Big Ben Roethlisberger going up against the Buffalo Bills, ranked 16th last year against opposing quarterbacks in fantasy. Now, one thing about Big Ben is that, yeah, last time we saw him on the football field, he looked horrible in that playoff game against the Cleveland Browns. They were being blown out at halftime. Four interceptions looked awful. I'll tell you what, he looks cut down. He looks good. He looks ripped right now. He's really cut down. Looks a lot better this year.
Did he look ripped? Listen.
Compared to what he normally looks like, yeah.
He still looks like a bag of flour that got left out too long.
He doesn't look like a doughboy anymore. It looks like he put on a little bit more muscle. And he's a big guy. Big Ben's always been a tough guy to tackle, but he looks a little bit more meaner. Looks a little more.
I hope he's not meaner. I pray.
Anyways, with Pittsburgh, I know they have a bad offensive line. They're going to have to throw a lot. It's going to be a bad offensive line. I think with a great receiving core with Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Did you take Deontay really high too?
I did. I'm really high on Deontay Johnson this year.
Are they starting Zach Banner?
I can't remember at this point. It's hard to name a Steelers starting offensive lineman this year. But a positive for them is they have one of the easiest rushing schedules this year when it comes to rushing defenses. So maybe that'll help out. And like Jake was talking about with Baker Mayfield, set up more play action.
But knowing
But
knowing Ben Roethlisberger's career, he loves to throw the ball. Even if he had Le'Veon Bell back there,
Steelers have always been a pass-first team.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's still going to happen versus Buffalo. You can score points on. The matchup.
You want to hear the offensive line?
Real quick, sure.
Left tackle, Dan Moore Jr. I have no idea who that is.
Late-round pick out of Texas A&M.
Thank you. Kevin Dotson, left guard.
He has been doing decent, I've been hearing. Yeah.
Kendrick Green.
He's an emerging star, I think. That's the rookie
at Illinois.
Yes, rookie center of Illinois.
Trey Turner.
Yep, former veteran back there.
Chuka Uwuma Okafora.
He was the tackle out of Western Michigan. I think he was a day two pick. I don't know why I know this. But
college
guy. Yeah. I like matching names with colleges. Anyways, but yeah. Offensive line is not great on paper, let's say that. Their interior is better than their exterior on the tackles, but still, I think that it's going to be rough offensive line, but I really do like Ben Roethlisberger's matchup along with Trevor Lawrence this week. All right. Let's talk about tight end, the quarterback's best friend. Jake, do you have a second quarterback? I thought you only had one.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Tight end. All right, let's go around the room here. Your tight end pick of the week, I'm going with Tyler Higbee.
Travis Kelce.
Nope. Going up against the Chicago
Bears.
That's
a good pick.
Who ranked last year 30th against the opposing tight end position. A couple things about Tyler Higbee. You guys know.
This is biased.
Okay, I like Higbee in fantasy.
I don't know.
You've
why.
Taken him in quite literally every league this year.
Just because the value is there.
So
why
you guys
not?
You guys remember last year when I said Kelce every week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and when he put up like the best tight end season.
He almost led the league in receiving as a tight end.
Yeah, I'm just saying, start Kelce.
With Tyler Higbee, though, a couple things here. Gerald Everett is gone. He is out. He's in Seattle now. You talk about Jared Goff, gone. He's in Detroit now. Matthew Stafford is now the new starting quarterback for the LA Rams. Oh. I'll tell you, I almost said the other team. The LA Rams. I think all opportunities are there for Tyler Higbee. Again, this is the Chicago Bears, a team that has struggled last year against the tight end position in fantasy.
That's because we stuck Danny out there.
Exactly. I'll tell you what. Teams have noticed. They started to use more of their tight ends late in the season just because they knew the Bears really didn't have anyone that can cover them. Now, I'll tell you what. Of all the teams in the NFL, you give Sean McVay this much time to game plan, like we talked about before earlier in the show. That Sean McVay is a guy who can pick you apart. And knowing this, that he can use his tight end in this format, I think Tyler Higbee is in store for a big night against the Chicago Bears. Matt, who's your tight end pick of the week?
It's going to be Austin Hooper. And like Jake touched on a lot with Baker Mayfield.
Oh, I don't support this Austin Hooper this year. Don't look at me.
So, with Tyrann Mathieu most likely going to be out of the game because of COVID, they don't really have anybody that can cover Austin Hooper because even Willie Gay, one of their starting linebackers from last year, he's on IR for at least the first 3 weeks. So that means Anthony Hitchens is the only viable person to cover Hooper.
God.
Yeah. And with the run game looking to be strong with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, it's going to set up a lot of play action.
No. They have Nick Bolton.
They just drafted Nick Bolton.
Yeah.
He was known as the guy who can blow the hole up in the middle.
He's not the biggest guy. You know,
no, he isn't.
But he does blow up the hole really well in the middle, right?
Yeah, yes. But anyway, the Browns paid Austin Hooper a lot of money. They want to get use out of him, and this is a perfect opportunity to use Austin Hooper.
RG, oh, my God. Amari Watts is starting.
Do you have an underrated tight end position?
Cole Kmet.
Okay. I like that. That's Cole Kmet. Super pick this year.
I don't really have a lot of matchups for you. Just call it a gut feeling. Andy Dalton loved Tyler Eifert when he was there. Obviously led him to, you know, probably being one of the best tight ends in the league for a good bit before the injuries got to him. So Andy Dalton does love tight ends. Mm-hmm. Cole Kmet.
Stop.
Cole Kmet. Really good player, really good underrated player. I think Jimmy Graham has done a really good job at molding him. And obviously him, Jimmy Graham, Cole, and Andy are really good friends. You can see it on the off-season stuff, off-field stuff. I just think he's going to get a lot of possessions open. And I think he has a lot of people actually say Cole Kmet's probably a possession guy. I don't think they watched him. That man will truck you. He does not shy away from contact. He reminds me a lot about Kittle. So I do think he has really... you know, boom or bust type situations. But a lot of leagues, if you don't know the Bears, Cole Kmet's a good steal or a good pickup in free agency right now.
Now, again, the only concern is Jimmy Graham, who you just mentioned. Will he take some of the snaps away from
Cole Red Kmet? Zone.
That's the thing.
I think red zone.
Which hurts because that's a big tight end value right there.
It is a big target. Tight end value, but if we're going off how much I forgot the ball a lot. And he was a possession type rat guy, which kind of like Kittle. So I think I'm not really worried. I think, you know, you can probably consistently get 8-9 points a game, maybe a touchdown here or there.
That's big for a tight end.
It's very big for a tight end, especially because I think Cole's got a really innate ability of finding good coverage holes. I've been watching him for a while now, and even when he did play, he always has the right ability on kind of how Jason Witten used to have, where he could just sneak behind the, you know, linebackers and sit there.
Kelsey does that a lot, too.
That's Kelsey's bread and butter, man. Yeah. You can't explain it, but yeah, I think Cole does a really good well of understanding coverages and where to sit within the linebacker, so I think it's a very good spot, even picking up him for the rest of the year, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do like that pick, especially moving forward. All right, let's go to running backs here. Now, my first pick is going Raheem Mostert. Now, I'm calling him Raheem Must Start.
Wow.
You and everybody else.
Yeah, I never heard that before.
Going up against the Lions, you ranked 31st last year against running backs in fantasy.
Aren't you playing him against him this week?
I might be.
Yeah, you are. Because
I like the matchup.
Colin has him.
Oh, I love the matchup. Still, regardless, even if I'm playing against him, I still love the matchup.
Oh, you're going to get beat so bad.
We'll see what happens. But again, Raheem Mostert, I mean, Detroit had one of the worst run defenses last year. And I'll tell you what, it really didn't look much improvement. I know that was one of the goals going into the offseason. The Lions added two young defensive tackles in the draft with their first three picks. I'll tell you what, in the first game in the NFL, I'm not going to say that I'm not scared of them right away. They added two defensive tackles early in the draft. I'm not saying these guys are going to step in and be world records in day one. I don't believe that will happen. I'm still starting Raheem Mostert, and who could be probably the best running back situation in the NFL right now is San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan loves to use his running backs, no matter who's starting there.
Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt.
I'm talking about scheme-wise. Team that just loves to run the football and has had
to
success.
Where any running back can work. That's what you're getting at?
Yes. That's why I think it's one of the best running situations right now in the NFL is the San Fran with Kyle Shanahan. I think it's a no-brainer. Raheem Mostert has got to be the guy for San Francisco. And if you are a Raheem Mostert owner this year, you better have Trey Sermon, because eventually if Mostert gets injured, Trey Sermon's going to be that next man up. Or Jeff Wilson, too.
Oh,
when he gets healthy. But still.
Listen, people. You obviously drafted him. Start Najee. Najee good. Najee catch ball well. He run well.
He was a first-round pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rookie running back out of Alabama. It's supposed to be the next big thing for Pittsburgh.
Listen, if you're watching listen to a fantasy show, you better know who Najee Harris is. I swear to God.
He's more than likely a second-round pick I've seen. I've rarely seen him in the first round.
Our people take him in the first round.
Right, in our leagues, and it's a little bit different. But all right, Matt, who is your running back pick of the week?
All right, so this is going to be a combination of just who is available, either David Johnson or Philip Lindsay. So there have been a lot of running back injuries early on for fantasy owners.
Thanks.
So if you weren't able to get Tyson Williams, if you were a Gus Edwards owner, then you're scouring trying to find somebody. And
yeah, I agree with that, man. I really do agree with it, especially when your GM opens up free agency at 10 p.m. and some random guy just snags him that didn't even need him. That's cool. He didn't even need Gus Edwards. He didn't even know who he was, Jordan. No, he took him.
The team also had Le'Veon Bell, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan.
So, anyway, yeah. David Johnson and Philip Lindsay, they are almost available in every league.
There's a reason for that.
But either of them could be the starter for the Texans' backfield this year. So if you're looking for a potential long-term solution for a running back injury, those are potential starters. And this week specifically against the Jaguars, David Johnson last year, he only played one full game against the Jags because in the first quarter of the second game, he got hurt. But in that first game, he ended up getting like 13 points and 96 yards.
Yeah, that was like one of the only games that I thought David, I was like, oh yeah, David might be back. And then no. I do believe Philip Lindsay will be the back. I don't understand. I know he's a smaller guy and the hate, but dude puts in a lot of work.
I think every time you underrate Philip Lindsay, I feel like he just surprises you. He's done that literally for 3 years in a row. When he's an undrafted guy. He was an unsigned guy at Colorado. He made the starting roster. He made a great career. And, of course, undrafted free agent made the starting running back job day one as an undrafted free agent.
Out of nowhere. No one saw that coming. And he's got arguably the best ball security in the NFL. He was like the first running back to go their first 500 carries without a fumble.
I think if he developed more, if he was a better pass catcher, I think he could be a really, really good running back. But he's just not a great pass catcher in general. And he is a little bit smaller frame, but still, that guy's elusive. He moves. He breaks tackles.
Yeah. And David Johnson may be the starter as of right now, but I do think as the year goes on, Philip Lindsay will be the starter in that backfield. So he's almost a must pickup or a must draft, I think.
So if you get either one, Lindsay or Johnson, in your draft, you might want to get the other one or try to trade for the other one so you can secure that backfield.
I do want to give a counterpoint, though, especially since the Texans are the anemic franchise of the league this year. If as a defensive coordinator, are you too worried about Tyrod Taylor?
No.
No.
Then why would I not stack the box every game?
Oh, it's a fair point.
Every play.
What happened last year with Dallas when Dak Prescott got injured? What happened?
Stack the box.
They stacked the box. And when Andy Dalton got hurt, they stacked the box more.
And Zeke had a career worse year, like six fumbles.
Big Ben DiNucci.
And people keep saying that Zeke had a down year. No, it was because what was he supposed to do? When you're putting literally nine guys in the box, what are you supposed to do?
Don't talk about that Tony Pollard guy. Like he outscored.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though? It's the same point, though. What are you going to do if you keep stacking, put eight, nine people in the box? What are you supposed to do at that point? You're supposed to beat them over the top. That's what they want you to do.
Yeah, if I'm playing against the Texans and I have an all-right defense, I'm going to blitz Tyrod. Tyrod's old. He's like 32, 33. He's not that, you know, spry anymore. David Johnson, he's already got hit with the running back age. Philip Lindsay, again, smaller guy. He can be tossed around. But, yeah, I am not afraid of anybody, maybe Brandon Cooks, because he can beat you down, you know, once or twice. But, again, you're looking at stack boxes more than likely for the whole year. Mm-hmm. And especially if Davis Mills has to play, there's no way in hell that I am not, as a defensive coordinator, licking my chops at the sack record and looking at that team on my roster. Good thing we play them this year.
You know what? I would like to see whoever Tyrod Taylor's agent is. He must be one of the best, or she must be one of the best agents.
You know what? I'm going to find that out right now.
It does seem like doesn't matter where he goes, he always lands a starting quarterback job. Now, last year was a fluke year. Justin Herbert was the top 10 pick, but he had his lung punctured by the team doctor. I hate to laugh at it, but it's just, of all the ways to miss games, that's probably towards down the list.
It's one of the more unusual.
Yeah.
Every time Tyrod Taylor has been on a team with a rookie quarterback that's been drafted, he loses the job. He lost the job to Baker.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. With the Browns. Yep. He got traded with the Bills that offseason.
Yep. Lost that there.
With the Herbert. Again, that's like we just said, it's a fluke injury. We lost the job to Herbert.
I think it's divine intervention at this point. God was like, Tyrod, listen, bud, T-train's over, man. Got's the goal.
Looks like Mills better be ready to go this year for Houston.
Oh.
Another rookie quarterback. They spent with their first-round pick because they didn't have a first or second-round pick.
Meaning the third-round pick?
Yes, I'm saying they didn't have a first or second-round pick, so their first overall pick in the draft.
Pick of the draft.
Yes, for them, it wasn't the third round. They took a quarterback out of Stanford.
Yeah, very questionable. Well, okay, let's be honest here. We all know Deshaun Watson is probably never going to suit up again for the Texans. Honestly, the Texans got the better end of the deal with not having to play him. I know they wanted probably to trade him, but if they can get an NFL exempt of him and get him off the team, then it's fine. But there's no way he's playing.
All right, moving on from the Texans, we're going to come back to them in just a minute. But, Jake, do you have another running back you have an eye on this week? Some guy that might be maybe a little under the radar pick. I know we talked about Harris a little bit ago from Pittsburgh, but any other guys that just catch your eyes this week that you like?
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt? I'm glad you brought that up because Kareem Hunt is my number two running back this week. Another guy I'm looking at, I mean, a good matchup against Kansas City, ranked 25th against opposing running backs in fantasy last year. This is a team that they can give up the rushing yards to Kareem Hunt. I'll tell you what. This might, like you said, Cole Kmet, this is sort of my gut feeling this week. I think Kareem Hunt might be in store for a revenge game. His first game back in Kansas City. Now, I know the reason why he's not there anymore was his fault, but still, maybe that revenge game factor. I know Nick Chubb is the starter. He's going to get majority of the carries. But Kareem Hunt should be getting all the opportunities in the world when it comes to in the receiving game. Nick Chubb is more of just the ground and pound attack. I know he just got paid. Kareem Hunt can not only do that, but he can also add some more in the receiving game. I just think with so many options, if Odell plays or not, there's another option for Baker out of that right out of the backfield, a little check down pass.
Yeah, hopefully we get the second sighting of Jamal Acosta, but from Kareem.
Yeah, I think Kareem Hunt could be in store for a big day. I know we both like him. It's a good matchup against Kansas City, even though he is number two back. But most teams are starting him this week because of that ability we talked about before in the offseason. He did average, 13 points a game last year in fantasy, roughly?
He was the number 10 PPR back as a backup for all but two games.
Yeah. Which
is
pretty crazy. He better be good for my third-round pick on him. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, he might be worth it this week. This is a good matchup. All right, Matt, do you have a second running back you're looking at this week?
Yes, I have Chase Edmonds going up against Tennessee this week.
Okay. Jake, I know you're not really happy about that.
Oh, my God.
So, even backing up Kenyon Drake last year, Chase Edmonds ended up being the number 25 PPR back. He ended up getting 68 receptions off of 70-some targets. He was consistent in that regard, and I don't think that's going to change this year. Right now, he's number one on the depth chart, and many of you, if you were me, took him in the eighth or ninth round, and I'm going to hear about that for a while.
I mean, it is what it is. If he goes off and has a good time and catches crap out the backfield and has a good time, whatever.
And at that point, he's been in the league 3 years. The last 2 years, he's averaged over 4.6 yards a carry and 7.9 yards a catch. He's been consistent in that regard.
Did you just pull that number out of your butt?
The yards per carry, I do remember exactly, but the yards per catch, yeah, that was a little winging.
I'll tell you what, I think Chase Edmonds is the type of running back that Cliff Kingsbury wants because he doesn't like to run the ball.
He's all air raid.
And the reason why they brought Kingsbury does.
But the reason why they brought in James Conner was to be that goal line back who could also do stuff in the receiving game as well as Chase Edmonds. That's why I think they have that dynamic because Chase Edmonds might be the starter. He might only get 12 to 15 carries a game. Maybe I would say 16, 17 touches a game in total. Something around that range. I think it's going to be more of a 5 wide receiver set, which is pretty crazy. Something we don't really see very often at the NFL level, but I think that's exactly what we could see. But Chase Edmonds in that regard is value because he's a better pass catching back than he is as a running back running the ball. I think he's better with catching the ball. At least that's just my opinion. Is there any other running backs we want to bring up? Any guys that you think that could be in store for a big day under the radar pick? And okay, we each got two around the room.
Yeah, I benched Antonio Brown for Jamar Chase.
We'll see what happens. I know Jamar Chase is already tweeting out that they're 1-0, even though the season hasn't started. But
honestly, you could probably start Darrell Henderson. I know you're going to start him regardless. But, I mean, last time we played against, he had a pretty good game against us, too.
Let's talk about that real quick. Are you guys nervous at all with Sony Michel? Are you still all in on Darrell Henderson?
No, I'm not. One of our friends just...
Just as a fantasy perspective, because I know there are a lot of Henderson owners out there. Obviously, he should be owned in all leagues.
Jake Funk.
But is there any concern with training for Sony Michel? I know he's been drafted a lot higher than fantasy.
Maybe later, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. But Darrell's been there, 2-3 years now? He knows the system. It's his back. It's his backfield. I mean, honestly, the only person I'd kind of be worrying about right now is Jake Funk, seriously. Because he was having he made the roster as, a seventh-round guy?
So he did make that 53-man roster?
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm not so much concerned with Sony Michel as I am with just Darrell Henderson in general because he was very inconsistent last year when it came to his fantasy numbers, and there were plenty of games where he did start over Akers. So not necessarily much them training for Sony Michel. That's just them having another rushing option. But Darrell Henderson, it's going to be an inconsistent year for him.
I'll tell you what, let's move to receivers. We each got a couple of names we want to bring up here. I'm going to start. I'm going back to that Houston-Jaguar matchup. I know it's not the great matchup on the week one slate, but LaVisca Chenault playing the Texans ranked 26th last year against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. Now,
again, he better be good.
Great matchup. Young quarterback without a tight end, without that safety blanket. We talk about tight ends is sometimes for young quarterbacks that safety blanket, their go-to guy. I think Chenault will be that safety blanket for Trevor Lawrence.
He better be. I swear to.
We saw that dynamic in week three against Dallas. We saw it so far in training camp. He is Lawrence's safety net going into this year. Again, the same point I made with Trevor Lawrence. They traded the number one quarterback, Bradley Roby, the week of. They traded him to the Saints this week. I don't know why. For whatever reason,
yeah, why,
a little bit of a downgrade.
Why is that?
It wasn't an unusual time.
It wasn't usual timing as well.
Just to guess. I guess get value, but I think LaVisca Chenault should be started in all leagues. I think he could be that playmaker this year. Jake, your bold prediction was he could be easily a wide receiver one. I'm fully behind you in support.
My sixth round pick on him better be, I swear to God.
All right, Matt, who's your receiver this week you like?
Okay, so I like Juju Smith-Schuster going into this week. So Pittsburgh Steelers offense, you're worried about Najee Harris. And you're worried about Deontay Johnson, and you're worried about Chase Claypool. Those are their three dynamic playmakers. Mm-hmm. Now, Juju, he had the one good year, and he has absolutely fallen off since. But he's got a good matchup going up against Taron Johnson as the slot corner this week, and I could very easily see him getting a touchdown this week and a lot of rack.
That's a guy who might be a borderline flex option. If he's your
that's
wide receiver,
where,
two,
where
it's
he's
tough.
A, yeah.
But yeah.
He's a flex option at this point.
But still, as the guy you could easily maybe stream if you're in a league that only starts one flex, that's a guy I would look at because it is a good matchup for really all Pittsburgh receivers. I 100% agree. Jake, is there a guy you like for receiver this week?
Yeah, and the receiver number one, Logan Thomas for the Redskins.
For the Washington football team?
Whatever.
We almost went the whole year last year without saying. I think we slipped up week 16 or 17, but only one mess up for a brand new team name. Not bad. And we're already week one. We already messed up.
Yeah, so I know this is receivers, but Logan Thomas, honestly, I give Matt a lot of crap for it, but Curtis Samuel more than likely will probably be out for the year. If you watch the video of him popping his hamstring again, he took his helmet off and did the cross sign immediately. He already knew it was bad. They haven't discussed it. They haven't talked about it. All he is just on the injury list. But you can see it happen. Realistically, I think... Cortland, you know, I really love Cortland. I thought he was a dog coming out. He was my favorite receiver that year coming out. Obviously, the injury hurt him, but he's perfectly fit for what Teddy can do.
Right.
Because if he can catch, you know, a 10, 15-yard slant, go to the house. He can do the out routes. He's not going to burn you deep. You know, Jerry can do that. So... what Cortland does, Cortland offers a lot of in and out routes and just levels on the field that, you know, not a lot of receivers can do, because then you could use Judy as a boomer bust guy because Judy's athletic and he's going to be your type of guy. But sure. I think Cortland's the guy that goes across the middle. He's going to catch it. He doesn't care about drops. He's just going to go out and do his work. And he's got something to prove. And honestly, I think this year he's going to come back with a vengeance as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, coming off that torn ACL, I mean, before that, he was the number one receiver. I know they drafted Judy in the first round. He got KJ Hamler in the second. And he also got Tim Patrick still lying in the weeds there. Don't forget about Tim Patrick. You have guys there in Denver, but I think Cortland Sutton is out for revenge to get that number one receiver job back in Denver.
Yeah, and if I were to go to Vegas and I were to put money on something, I bet Cortland Sutton gets a touchdown this week.
There you go.
First game back, it would be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
All right, number two guy I like right now in Philadelphia is Jalen Reagor, another former first-round pick, going up against the Atlanta Falcons, who ranked dead last year against fantasy wide receivers. Now, this is a guy who balled out in camp, was the 21st overall pick a year ago in the 2020 NFL draft over Justin Jefferson. Now, I know there's videos out there that Minnesota was literally laughing that the Eagles took Reagor and said pass on Justin Jefferson. Now, I know the rest is history. Justin Jefferson's an amazing player. Reagor's still talent. There's a reason why the Eagles drafted him over Justin Jefferson. He fit their play style. He fit what they wanted to do. They liked his talent. They're just saying, whether or not we agree it's a good pick or not, to them it was. They liked him. They liked him for a reason.
I think that was more of a Howie Roseman move.
But they liked him for a reason. I know Devontae Smith, the first-round pick this year, is getting all the hype in the offseason. I really do think that Jalen Reagor could be the guy this year. With a new offensive head coach in Nick Sirianni, I think with a new quarterback, and Jalen Hurts being the full-time starter right now in Philadelphia, I think Jalen Reagor could be in store for a nice day against the Atlanta Falcons. Just a little under the radar pick who's definitely out there.
Looked at the Atlanta Falcons defensive back.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
I know they have a first round pick.
AJ Terrell.
AJ Terrell, thank you. I know they have him there, so there is talent there, but whether or not he has developed, not yet.
Fabian Moreau is going to be the opposite of him.
You can beat them. That's why I'm saying you can beat Atlanta. This Atlanta defense
is not
improved at all.
I'm not to my favorite part. Eric Harris, he has been a backup for his whole career, especially with the Raiders as well.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like a Jeff Heath light. Sure.
Like I said, that defense is beatable. It's easily. That defense is definitely beatable.
You know who my second receiver is, though?
Sure, go ahead.
Julio.
Okay. Some people are passing on him a lot in drafts because the age, because of the new team, whether or not he can stay healthy for a full year, will he get touchdowns? You know, there's a lot of question marks with the new team.
Listen, folks, Jordan, Matt, Julio, that was a business decision to be hurt last year. Just like Kenny Galladay, contractitis. You hear about his hamstring, nothing. That's called, I don't want to practice. I'm too good to practice. Mm-hmm. That means I'm on the verge of Hall of Fame. I'm not going to practice. You know, he's going up against non-athletic corners this week against Arizona. I mean, Byron Murphy's a good cover three, sit back there, wait for the zone type corner. Buddha would be the only person I would be considered worried about. But if Julio comes out with a vengeance like I think he will, Tannehill will bomb it. And I think we could probably be looking at Julio's maybe 2-touchdown, 200-yard game right off the bat, to be honest with you. If they keep him at the boundary, I see it. But if they start using him in the middle against Isaiah and Zaven Collins, that speed's pretty unmatchable. I wouldn't take it. But as long as he can stay on the boundaries with A.J. Brown, I think it'll be fine.
And we're talking maybe potential MVP year for Tannehill because we're looking at who he's playing. He's playing Arizona, then he's playing Houston twice. He's playing Jacksonville twice. This is going to be a huge year for everybody on Tennessee's offense.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, who's your second receiver this week?
All right, so Paris Campbell for the Indianapolis Colts going up against the Seahawks, a very tough week one matchup for the Colts. So Paris Campbell, before he got hurt last year in like week three or four, he was off to a great start on the year. He had two games where he had over 60 yards, and he is going to need to be a big contributor to this offense because they have a lot of inexperience out there. They have Michael Pittman Jr. They have Zach Pascal. They have Jack Doyle. Those are some of their receiving options right now. Paris Campbell, he is the fastest receiver on that team. He's the one that they need to get open. And if they're going to beat Seattle, they're going to have to stretch the field. They just can't let Seattle stack the box against Jonathan Taylor all game. Paris Campbell is that guy that needs to make the play, and he's the one that will make the play because Seattle's corners are still sketchy after losing Shaquille Griffith in the offseason.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, don't forget, you're speaking of all those names. I really like Paris Campbell. I drafted him last year in fantasy. Didn't work out, but I still like him. You also don't forget about Mo Alie-Cox, the tight end. He's a playmaker waiting to happen. I think they will get him involved this year in the offense. Again, the Colts are dealing with so many injuries, COVID issues right now, but just another name to keep out for.
And something to keep an eye on, too. Yeah, like you were saying. What's weird is Mo Alie-Cox, they've used him more as a blocker recently, even though he does have some receiving talent that they could utilize, especially for Frank Reich, who wants to use tight ends. Carson Wentz, who is used to throwing to tight ends his whole career, two tight ends. So yeah, Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox, they are the veteran receiving options on that team, and they're ones throughout the year that will need to have to step up. But week one, Paris Campbell, he's the guy that needs to do something. He needs to use his speed to beat Seattle because if it's all on Jonathan Taylor's back, then it's going to be game over for them in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah. Another receiver I want to bring up real quick is Rondell Moore, the rookie receiver from the Arizona Cardinals, playing Tennessee, ranked 31st against opposing wide receivers in fantasy. That's just simply the reason for this is speed, speed, speed. Rondell Moore is one of the faster players in the league. He's one of the more elusive guys. Again, he hasn't even played an official first down yet in the NFL. But I'll tell you what, this is a guy in Arizona who they're going to find ways to line him up all over the field because they want to use him to their advantage. Cliff Kingsbury is going to put four, five receivers on the field at once. I think Rondell Moore should be involved early and often this year for the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Tennessee Titans.
So you're telling me we're not talking about Andy?
We could be. Is he your receiver?
Dude.
Andy Isabella, unfortunately, might be buried on the depth chart, but this is a year for him. This is a year for him.
He's number two behind Rondell Moore.
And I will say, all last year we talked about the Tennessee Titans and their their play versus number two wide receivers specifically. Mm-hmm. You talked about that almost every week last year. And if Rondale Moore ends up being the number two receiver for that offense, then let's see if history repeats itself.
Sure, absolutely. All right, moving along to our kicker challenge. And just to recap, this is something we did last year on the show. We each picked a kicker. We can only use them once throughout the year. And it ended up coming down to a week 17 faceoff. We were all three tied going into the last week where Jake ultimately came out as champion. He was the kicker challenge champion last year. So congratulations again, Jake. And why not? You lead us off here with our kicker challenge. Who is your kicker for week one?
Brandon McManus.
Okay. Going up against the Giants, correct?
Yeah.
In New York, you like that matchup?
Yeah, Giants bad. McManus get good.
Right. As simple as it can be. Matt, what about you?
I'm going to go Robbie Gould versus Detroit. He's historically been good against Detroit. I mean, we've obviously watched him play when he was a Bear, so I'm going Robbie this week.
I'm going to go Daniel Carlson, that Monday night matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. I think Baltimore, with the injuries to the running back position, they might have to throw a little bit more than they wanted to week one. I think it's going to take
more. They still have their running back there.
They still have I think the Raiders, they might surprise you. I like kickers in fantasy is I don't want the elite offenses. I want offenses that are above average that can get down the field but can't quite punch into the end zone and gives more field goal opportunities. And I think Daniel Carlson fits that bill for the Las Vegas Raiders this year. So I'm going him week one against the Baltimore Ravens. All right, finally, let's talk about that Sunday night matchup again. Bears
and
Rams. I'm
watching a movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
On NBC. Yeah, it's probably won't be pretty just because no one bears history against the Rams on primetime, just bears history in general on primetime. But let's go around the room. So quick, if you want to give a quick score, who comes out in the game, some game day predictions, the Bears at Rams Sunday night?
We're going to see Aaron Donald kick off his Defensive Player of the Year campaign yet again.
Again?
Yep, I'm going to go 24-10 Rams.
Okay, only 10 points for the Bears. What about you, Jake?
That's generous. 48-17.
Really? Do you think that many points?
Bears.
It's true.
No, 48-17 Bears.
Oh, let's go.
Let's go. Hey, man, I had a five game streak last year.
You did?
Then you guys ruined it.
You did.
Nah, I think probably 34-17, maybe.
That's funny because I'm going 31-13 Rams. 31-13 Rams.
How do you get 13? Two field goals?
Yeah.
Well, I might pick Cairo then.
That seems just like the Bears offense. Just make it a touchdown, maybe two, and then just field goals the rest of the way.
Yeah, well, we got Mixon Light back there with Monty.
Yeah.
And AJ Green Light with Allen.
I think it's a rough start. We'll see what happens with Andy Dalton and company. I know we'll see Matt Nagy will give you a lot of word salad on Monday after the game, but it should be fun. The season is officially here. This is year five of Football Sunday.
I just hit my mouth.
This is year five of Football Sunday. Again, thanks to Matt, Jake, and myself, Erdrone Gothi, back with you again for another year. Again, this time, the show will be online on rockrivercurrent.com, so make sure you go check it out. Again, thanks again for listening. We'll be back for week two next week.